Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back to the Barbershop Window Podcast, episode 45. It's been a while. I hope you missed us. I am your host, as always, Chris Vigilante. I am joined currently by everyone's favorite now Floridian, Rob Zanzanier. How are you this evening, Rob?
I'm a little bit injured. I took a tough pile driver to the pavement. My neck's a little banged up, but I'm pulling through. I'm happy to be back on the show. Glad to talk to you. Hopefully Shane doesn't call in so we can be productive and get back the show back on track.
Yes, we haven't been back in a while, but I guess you could consider this, what, season two? The beginning of season two of the show? Is that what we want to call our hiatus?
It's not like we've missed much anything relevant, you know?
No, nothing's gone on in the last month that's worth talking about. Well, I'm going to do something we haven't done in a while, and that's plug the phone number. If anybody wants to call in and talk to Rob or myself, maybe Shane if he decides to show up, just dial us in, 646-716-4706. Rob, I haven't talked to you in a while, Rob. How have you been otherwise? How's the move to the Sunshine State?
It was good. You know, it was planned a year in advance. I kept my place down here. For those who don't know, I was in New York for a little bit over a year, back in New York, originally from New York, and basically looking to interview for jobs, and I finally did, and I switched back down here just so, you know, a bunch of logistics, getting a car, figuring out new job stuff, computers, phones, emails, all that nonsense, logistics. But other than that, thankfully everything's fine. Ready to get season two underway.
Good. Well, a lot has happened. You know, we had some back and forth about what we should talk about considering everything that's kind of happened since we've been off. I think we settled on two things to kind of focus on. Maybe talk a little Royal Rumble later in the show, but I think for us anyway, for our enjoyment purposes, I think we decided the thing that we want to talk about the most is New Japan Pro Wrestling's Wrestle Kingdom 9 show, which is happened about 2 weeks ago, and was a hell of a show, let's just say that. You know, before we go through everything, Rob, did you see the show, and what were your overall impressions of it?
I tried to watch it on the first replay, which was like midnight one night. I don't even know, but I couldn't get it through my cable operator, even though it said they would have it. I couldn't find it through the guide. I ended up just finding a streaming service of one of the replays. I got pretty lucky. It was very straightforward. Right. I mean, I'll run through it real quick. I think the first match was entertaining, but I think, you know, it was kind of a spot fest, but I think that's what it was meant to be. My two main matches were really, well, actually there were a couple. What's the third title called again? The
Never title?
Yeah, I thought that was a good match. I guess there's history between those guys. You can probably talk about it a little bit better. And obviously the Nakamura match was on a different level.
Yeah.
And then obviously the main event. Okada Tanahashi 7, I guess. But we could talk about those more in detail. What did you think of the show? As overall, I listened to the English broadcast, actually, and JR was, you know, it was odd. They were kind of, you know, explaining that a bunch of times that they had to explain a bunch of things. Things weren't clear. It was a little awkward. I might have actually preferred listening to the Japanese commentators.
Yes. Well, unfortunately, Rob, your prayers have not been answered because in the interim, we have been joined by Shane. So, hello, Shane. Welcome back to the show.
Hello, guys. Can everyone hear me okay?
Sure. For once, we can.
Okay. You sound better than ever, actually.
They should have never let Shane on the Barbershop Window podcast.
That's what I've been saying. I missed that noise.
I know. Yeah, I'm sorry.
They should never let John Cena on the track with Wiz Khalifa.
Why did I pick up the phone when you called in? So,
more things,
anyway,
what are we talking about?
We just started talking about Wrestle Kingdom 9. So, before we get to you, I agree, Rob. I think, JR and Striker, I think they started off slow, kind of getting into the groove. I thought by the end of the show they had really picked it up and kind of hit a stride, and I was enjoying it. But, yeah, I realize how much I love listening to the Japanese commentators, so I think, you know, here on out, I would be more than fine listening to the Japanese commentators. As far as the matches themselves, really, every match was excellent, maybe with the exception of the two multi-man, and I don't mean the junior heavyweight tags. I'm talking about the Bullet Club versus the Hanma and Kojima Tenzan match, and the Noah guys versus some of the Suzuki Gun guys. Those matches weren't anything special, but the rest of the matches were very good, right? The opening was a little fast, a little spotty, but, you know, they didn't give them much time because they were worried about the time window. But a lot of the matches were excellent. The Makabe Ishii match was excellent. The Naito AJ Styles match was excellent. And then the final two matches on the card, probably two of the best matches you'll ever see close a pay-per-view with, you know, for me, the Nakamura-Ibushi match for the IC title being the standout. Five-star match for me all the way. And Tanahashi and Okada was right behind it. So just a great pay-per-view, something I wish I could see more often, especially from WWE. Shane, what did you think, bud?
Real quick, I wanted to add.
Go ahead, Rob.
I forgot to mention Naito and Styles. I thought this was kind of Naito's coming out. I think he really got over. It was a pretty good match, don't you think, Chris?
Yeah, no, it was a fantastic match. And I loved how they kind of mixed storyline and reality and brought up the guys who had been hurt by the Styles Clash and, you know, really made the storyline that the Styles Clash is the most dangerous move in wrestling, and basically made it so that when Naito finally got hit with it, it was, you know, seeming like the most devastating thing that could have happened, which was, you know, really
nice
to
see. Off the rope, yeah.
Yeah, it was.
All right, Shane, sorry to cut you off. Go ahead.
And my general reaction, obviously, I loved every second of it. The Styles Naito match is sort of overlooked with those two gems at the end, but I thought that was like an excellent match, like really good storytelling with it with the Styles Clash. Maybe that's job to Styles. I thought just another good match. I liked the hot opener. I just some of the but thought that was a really fun to watch the Japanese. Obviously, the Nakamura match was one of the best. Best performers ever, I think. Sorry to be so over. He's just an unbelievably charismatic wrestler. And I just appreciate, like, how he has a different physique, like a different in-ring style that's totally his own. You know, I don't think he's biting off anyone. I see, like, little flashes of flair, maybe, like, just in his style, like, the way he yells and everything, but he's much more offensive and dynamic and athletic than Flair. He's just
his ring entrance is
unbelievable.
Cool too.
What?
His ring entrance.
Oh, yeah, his ring entrance was unbelievable. And I think a star was made in Ibushi. And Ibushi reminds me of another person that I'm hallmarked for. A really overlooked wrestler and Western wrestler, that's Ethan Carter, third. But probably more athletic. But he just reminds me of him, like just his in-ring personality, his demeanor. Just match. Okada.
I mean, Ibushi, sorry to cut you off, Shane, but like you hit the nail on the head. I mean, obviously Nakamura was the star of the match, but Ibushi was a huge, huge part of it. I mean, without him, it's not the match that it is. So you definitely have to give credit to both guys,
yeah,
almost equally, I think.
To make ham sandwich look good in the ring, or in, I guess in Japanese, noodles. But I think you can make anyone get over in the ring. But Ibushi was great, just fucking great. And then the last match, I love, man, Okada's so great. They must have such a good rivalry with Okada and Tanahashi. Okada, you know, I think I had a discussion with another friend. I think just Okada, like, in general, like, he was, like, really dropped out when he was in Mexico. Like, he didn't do anything good. I don't think he transferred over to a Western audience well. I just don't.
You don't think he'd be in WWE?
No, I don't think. I'd like to hear your guys' opinion. I don't think he'd transfer over well to WWE. I think he's specifically a Japanese product, which, more power to him. Like, stay there for your entire life. But I mean, his job at the end where he was fine, like, was good storytelling. Like, it was, I thought it made him look, like, really strong in spite of it. Like, almost like a, and Tanahashi at the end there, I thought was playing the heel a little bit, doing the star and everything. So maybe they're, like, swappy pulls. But I don't really position Okada as, like, an underdog just because he's had so much success. But, just a really great show. There's not much, nothing I can say bad about it from top to bottom. Even the Bullet Club match, I thought it was great. I'm Jahanma Mark. I was asking that Dolph Ziggler wishes he could be. I think they're like similar characters, except Hanma doesn't suck and he's not a baby loser. But I just thought that I thought the whole thing was perfect. Chris, what do you think?
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, like, look, like I said, I didn't think those matches were great, but at the same time, they weren't bad, and they accomplished something, and they accomplished what they wanted to, which was to highlight certain guys. You know, in that Bullet Club match, it was to highlight Hanma, which it did, and in the other match, it was to highlight the Noah guys, and particularly Naomichi Marufuji, who's the Noah champ, who I think is going to play a bigger part in New Japan this year. I mean, it did what it was supposed to do, and it was good. And, like, you know, from top to bottom, the whole card was great, and I loved other little things here and there. I kind of enjoyed JR taking jabs at WWE about the Intercontinental title and how much more prestigious this one is, and basically why would you have a title in your promotion that wasn't prestigious. I also loved, and, you know, we're not saying anything new here because, you know, I'm sure everything we're saying has been said before and talked over to death. The way that the end of the main event, that they really conveyed how important that damn title was by having Okada literally walking out of the ring like crying. It was great. It just shows you how important this title is, and that's the way it should be built. I think all around, everything in New Japan is just at a so much higher level than anything we see here, whether it's in-ring, storytelling, selling, everything is just at another level. And another thing we see, well, we don't see here that we see there, is every match was different in its own way. You know, it's not 10 of the same matches, you know, because the Ishii Makabe, you know, slugfest, they just beat the hell out of each other for 12 minutes, is so much different than the junior tag title match, which is so much different than the Nakamura Ibushi match, which is, you know, so much different than, you know, the Goto and Shibata versus Anderson and Gallows match. Like, it was just every match that was different, and it worked, and I just wish we could see more of this kind of stuff in the wrestling that we get. But
and importantly, no Divas matches.
You. Hey, you know what? Like, have you seen over there any of the Japanese women's wrestling, like Joshi? Have you ever seen that?
Women's wrestling doesn't really interest me. And let's
check that.
And
if you ever get a chance, check that stuff out. Because that's some great women's wrestling over there.
It's really
Joshi
good.
In particular,
it's, I've seen it. It's really great. Great characters, too. Almost like cartoonish.
Like Blue Pants?
Like Blue Pants. Dude, you know, it's funny that, like, you know, how over she got in NXT, because she's actually a good, you know, independent wrestler. I think she came out of Lance Storm's, was it Lance Storm or the Dudley Boys? One of those two. She came out of, and like supposedly is also very good. So,
I mean, I think the second point we should probably
it's
talk
amazing
about.
It's amazing just not to take such a pivot, but I'm sure somebody, Triple H or somebody, noticed how Enzo and Big Cass, just by talking, got over a complete nobody, with no wrestling name.
True.
In the in NXT, just with their commentary. Somebody had to have realized that and noticed it, right? Like, how great these guys are promoting.
Yeah, you'd think so, but, I mean, the problem is I'm afraid of guys going to the main roster at this point from NXT because they've shown time and time again that they just don't know how to handle them. So now, before we speak about a little bit, I guess, kind of with the Royal Rumble coming up,
on the issue of NXT, I have a quick question. Did we talk about Steen and Devitt's debuts at NXT or no?
I don't think we might have touched on it briefly, but I don't think we talked about TakeOver, TakeOver special. I don't want to, and I don't know if I should... I was going to talk, you know, do you guys want to talk a little bit about the next TakeOver? Because there's a couple of matches already in place. I mean, we should probably, spoiler alert, if we're going to talk about it.
All right,
but,
what are those matches?
Well, the only ones I know, I just read about. And spoiler alert, if you don't want to hear, skip ahead in maybe, 2-3 minutes. So the three matches that I know for sure are going to happen are Zayn and Owens for the NXT title, which will obviously be awesome. Finn Balor and Adrian Neville are going to have a number one contenders match. So that should also be awesome. And then there's going to be a four-way for the NXT women's title, Charlotte Bailey, Becky Lynch, and Sasha Banks. So,
yeah, I mean, I think Neville and Devitt, definitely they have a past. They have a history, right? They've wrestled before. They're friends, right?
I believe they have wrestled before, yes.
They've wrestled before, yeah.
I mean, that has the potential to be really special. Obviously, Zayn and Owens have a past that you guys know a lot about. You guys can expound upon.
I do. I've seen many of their matches in person, and they were all great. I don't expect it to be any worse. It's just another. My point is not like part of the point is just another. What's clearly going to be another awesome TakeOver special. I look forward to these so much more than like the main roster shows because every one of them has delivered in such a big way. And also another kind of
like,
great thing.
But wait, let me interrupt. But you brought up a good point. Like, I'm excited for these matches, but you're right. Like, I mean, the ultimate next, I guess, is to be transferred up to the roster. With transfer is Prince, believe me, because I love Prince. But, I mean, like all those guys, I see, like, Neville's, super, but it's, like, too small and weird-looking, I think, to make any, like, legitimate impact. Like, what's it going to be, like, a Rey Mysterio type character? Like, they already have like a bunch of those underdogs, so like Brian and
I mean, I see the two
Kevin Owens. I don't see Kevin Owens in anything. I think Walt, his entire moveset, who on the main roster is going to take a powerbomb onto the apron?
I mean, the thing is, he can do a lot more than that. But you know, you'll see, he hasn't really been able to do much in NXT yet. He hasn't really had any, only had one real full match yet. So, you know, you have to see more. But, I mean, I agree to an extent, as much as I love Steen or, you know, Owens, whatever. I actually think, I think out of that crop, I think, you know, the two biggest, the two that are going to reach the highest in the main roster are going to be Devitt and Sami Zayn. I actually see them to be the, I think they're going to be the two that get over the most.
I don't think that Zayn is going to, like, become a world champion, but I think Devitt for sure. I mean, I think the sky's the limit for Devitt of all of the guys. I think the other guys will go to the main roster and you know, perform well, but I think of all of them, Devitt is the one who could, you know, really, really rise above and maybe be world champion one day.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think Sami Zayn can easily be the next Daniel Bryan, too. He's like the same kind of character.
No, I think they should position him. Like, I see Devitt as being the WWE champion. Definitely.
I agree with that.
I don't like them. I think he's going to be more of like a Jeff Hardy type character. I don't like doing the. It doesn't make any sense.
So what, Shane? You're breaking up.
Yeah, your connection sucks, Shane.
Yeah.
I thought it was my headphones that were messing up. I wasn't sure. That's why I didn't want to bring it up.
Wait, I was walking around. Is this better?
Yeah, Shane, you're really bad. Your connection's really bad.
But by the way, in the lead-up to the next TakeOver special, to get to that number one contenders match, it's a tournament, basically, right? And one of the semifinals, like Devitt's semifinal, is Devitt against Kenta. So that should be awesome, too.
So what did Shane say he didn't like about Devitt?
I don't think he said he didn't like anything about Devitt. I think he's... was talking about someone else being Jeff Hardy-like. It's going to be fun to listen to this back and just hear him chop in and out. But, hey, what happens with live broadcasting. It's fine. Yeah, it's fine now, I think.
Okay.
But we only have a few minutes left. Right. Why don't we get into a little Royal Rumble discussion? I think the big thing, obviously, is that Bryan came back a lot sooner than most of us anticipated. And, I mean, I kind of, you know, it's kind of become now a two-horse race. And it's, you know, maybe there's a chance of a dark horse. I don't really see it. But what do you guys think? I mean, without being too presumptuous, who you got, Daniel Bryan or Roman Reigns to win the Royal Rumble? Or someone else? Rob?
I think they're going to go with Reigns, but they're going to be mindful of the Batista backlash effect from last year. I don't think Bryan should come out at 30.
No,
I heard that he found out the same day that he made the announcement that he was able to come back. I think it should be Bryan, but... It's more. It all depends on who the champion is going to be at Mania. I think if it's Reigns going against Lesnar, if Reigns wins the Rumble match, I mean, you're going to assume that. I mean, it's going to be interesting to watch the Rumble because that's the main event, right? It's going to be interesting to watch that after the outcome of the championship match. You know, that's what I think the selling point is.
I actually think depending on how they're going to end that championship match, that's going to determine whether it goes on last or not. I think if Lesnar just straight retains, then the Rumble goes on last. If you have especially something like a Seth Rollins cash-in, that's going to be last.
They were talking about Rollins losing the match and then cashing in on the winner. That's almost too obvious.
I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm just saying... if they're going to do that, then I would see the championship match going on last.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to see Ziggler win it, but that'll never happen.
I think it's clear. I think it's clear that this whole thing is being driven by Brock Lesnar, whether he's going to re-sign or not, you know, most likely not. Because, like, listen, if that wasn't an issue, it's a no-brainer. The money match for WrestleMania is Daniel Bryan versus Brock Lesnar. Hands down, no questions about it. Nothing, no other potential match that could come out of this, assuming that the Rumble win is going to be either Bryan or Reigns, and obviously one of the champions either going to be Rollins, Cena, or
right,
Lesnar.
Right.
The clear money match is Bryan and Lesnar, no doubt.
Real quick, there was promotional material released for WrestleMania today, and front and center in front of John Cena was Roman Reigns. What are your thoughts on that, Shane?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not as anti-Roman Reigns as I think you guys are. Like he definitely has presence.
Why not?
I mean, he's got that presence. Like, he's got swag. He just, like, he sucks, but I understand
He is losing that swag. He is losing whatever swag he has every single show with every single horrible promo after horrible promo after horrible promo.
Should win the Rumble? I'm so, like, uninspired by WWE. Like, I mean, I want to see Dean Ambrose win the Rumble. That's what I want to see happen. I mean,
I think he's the dark horse. The one bright spot has been Seth Rollins. Lesnar, look, I see, like, personally, what I think the right move is, like I said, I still, I don't know, I'm very on the fence because I think they'd be taking a huge risk not to have Bryan win this Royal Rumble. And they're clearly going right back to him as, like, a major focal point because I don't know if you guys saw SmackDown this week, but at the end, Triple H comes out. Not only did they put Bryan, you know, in the match and they interfered with it and everything, but after he won, Triple H comes out and says, you're going to fight Kane next week, and if you lose, you're out of the Rumble. So they're clearly making him a focal point. So
yeah, you have to. He's a returning
that's
guy.
That's the right move. Oh. I don't know if they're going to do it because, in the end, if Vince McMahon wants Roman Reigns to win, then Roman Reigns is going to win. But it's the wrong
Shame.
Move. The right move is Brock Lesnar versus Daniel Bryan for the title, John Cena probably versus Rusev, Randy Orton versus Seth Rollins. These are the matches that should happen. I actually think if you want to give – you want to give Roman Reigns a big match but not put him in the main event because he shouldn't be in the main event, you should have Roman Reigns be the one that beats Rusev at WrestleMania. What do you think of that?
Shane?
I mean, I think – I like that idea. I think Reigns going over Rusev would be a great, like, intermediary step. But that leaves John Cena sort of without a program –
You put John Cena in there with Dolph Ziggler when Dolph Ziggler turns because of all the shit that's been happening to him.
I was about to say that.
Oh, that's a good idea, too. I think the WWE all sucks. Like, I'm not interested in anything going on right now.
I think they're going to bring Ziggler back. Yeah. Sorry to cut you off, Shane. I think they're going to bring Ziggler back and, like, make him come in number one, and he'll be, like, a Final Four or Final Five guy. Or Cena will eliminate him, and maybe that's where they get the Cena's not in the Royal Rumble, so never mind. But, Shane, I've been trying to ask you this question for the last 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Who do you think should
win
the Royal
Rumble?
Hurry, we only have about, another minute.
Let Shane talk. Shut up.
The thing that I'm most confused about in the WWE right now is Big E. Because, like on Total Divas, like Paige was grabbing Big E's boobs and everything. And then, like, obviously any male sees it just as, like, a natural reaction. Like, it's an invitation to grab back and, like, start flirting with Paige. And he doesn't do any of this. And he's always, like, makes these weird Instagram videos with the other divas. And he's, like, eternally friend-zoned, like, by the divas and everything. And it's just embarrassing. Like, I feel sorry for Big E. They should call him Big Friend Zone. I, th-
I think that's the most like interesting plot and storyline in the WWE right now, is when will Big E finally get laid and start being a man, like a real man about this.
A real man. And on that note, we're going to have to close up shop. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Barbershop Window Podcast, the return of the podcast, episode, season two. Next time, maybe we can talk a little Lucha Underground. I like to talk about that. But like I said, we hope you enjoyed the show. Keep listening. Keep supporting the show.
Maybe,
tell people about it. You can find all our other episodes at Blog Talk.
Maybe next week. Maybe next week you can do a podcast alone.
Yeah, Chris, stop talking so much.
I would love that. I would love that. Anyway, all the episodes, you know the drill. BlogTalkRadio.com, iTunes, Stitcher. Follow. Tumblr. Don't follow me on Twitter. Don't follow Shane. Don't follow Rob. Who cares? Anyway, we'll see you guys next week for the Royal Rumble, if not before then. Or at least I will. I don't know if these two jackoffs are going to join me. But anyway, good night out there. And to hell with you guys. But good night anyway.
Likewise.